Hi, I'm Mac Van from New Hope, Alabama. I write and tell stories. People ask what my stories are about. My answer is always the same. My stories are about people, places, moments in the past that have found their way soul deep. Like when I was almost 4. I'd been allowed to stay up later that night. Why? Didn't my parents know it was past my bedtime? I'm sure they did, yet they weren't saying anything. The minute hand on the family clock continued moving. What would happen if the clock struck 9? Already I'd seen the long hand go past 7, past 8, past 9. 2 minutes more, and it would be at 10. Looking back, I'd say it was the magic in the air, a time betwixt, between, a time when all lay still and waiting, and though it wasn't fall, September's smell, a hint, lay lingering, neither hot nor cold. The air became a part of you, and you it, like a mantle around your shoulders, like a cloak that you could wear. This air was more than air to breathe. This air you wore. Almost 9. And outdoors the sky a midnight blue. The heavens filled with diamonds and a silver cradle moon to work a spell on whoever was lucky enough to be outside and look up. Still no word. As I watched the big hand move past 7, then past 8, then past 9, excitement grew with each passing moment, because for the first time, I was being allowed to stay up and experience what nighttime held. Moments turned into minutes, and minutes into memory. As anticipation and suspense, like pixies and fairies, tiptoed a minuet all about the room. Now, heady with excitement over having been allowed to stay up 18 minutes past my bedtime, I heard my mother say, "Time to go to bed, Mac." Wow! A record! Dutifully, I trotted off to my room and climbed into bed. Outside, September's wind lay resting, while inside, I lay and listened to a sound coming through a screened-in bedroom window. A sound I'd never heard before. A steam calliope 2 miles away in New Hope, Alabama. How can I describe what I was hearing? A still summer's night. No traffic on the pike, just the most beautiful waltz, barely audible, calling, as if from the furthermost corners of my mind, calling to say, "Come, child, come now. For such delight you'll find, you must come now." It was a night for magic. But how could I have known? I was only 3. None had told me of horses moving in time to music, going in circles, up and down, bowing and scraping, prancing and swaying, trotting and in full gallop. I didn't know any of this. I only knew what I was hearing, a sound wonderful and beckoning, saying, "Hurry, get down here quickly, for something is waiting." And yes, I felt I must go, even though it was now 9 o'clock. Knowing there could be no doubt what my parents would say, I nevertheless rose to go ask. Were I to get to New Hope that summer night, my parents would have to be the ones to take me. I pattered into my parents' room and was kindly and firmly told no. Returning to my room, I climbed into bed. Any other time, and that would have been the end of it. But as I lay there listening to sound after sound in three-quarter time, I knew this could not be the end. Something was waiting, and I knew that my life could not be complete. Until I stood in New Hope that summer night to receive whatever it was that was waiting. Again, I left my bed, this time in tears, because I knew my dear parents would not be able to understand what I was feeling and again would deny my asking. Thus, I would be doomed to the untenable situation of being divided. Half of me 2 miles up Gurley Pike, and the other half down at New Hope, where something magic beckoned. Again, I was told no, this time with annoyance for my having asked a second time. Returning to my room, I crawled into bed and tried not to hear what floated ever so softly through groves of pecan trees across Cousin Elizabeth's dahlia beds, over Grandmother Van's cotton field, through Uncle Tom's pear and apple orchard, and in through my bedroom window. It was no use. I lay there listening to the waltz of the carousel, music content, not just to be heard, but rather determined to work its way into my very soul and take my life away. I was powerless. I stood it as long as I could, 5 or 6 minutes maybe, but it was no good. Were I to die, what difference would a spanking make? Still, I wasn't looking forward to it. No matter, I did what I had to do, knowing my asking a third time could result in capital punishment with fear and trepidation. With sobs and tears streaming down my face, I got out of my bed, returned to my parents' room, and did my best explaining why I should be taken to where the music was. How could I explain? I tried. But how does a child less than 4 persuade his parents to take him somewhere when it's 9 o'clock in the evening? My reasons were eloquent, but my vocabulary lacking, as I attempted to explain through broken-hearted sobs why the desires of a 3-year-old should be granted. I was lucky I didn't get a whipping. Maybe I did. I don't remember. I do remember my request denied for a third time, and this time a threat given as well, namely that if I bothered my parents once more that night, my butt would be history. That was it. I'd done all I could. Nothing was going to avail. Sobbing, I lay in bed hearing a sound of such beauty and calling that to just hear and miss being in the music's presence was more than I could bear. I lay there, dying. I'd been dying a good 5 minutes, maybe 10, crying my eyes out. Something I'd never done before. I guess it was one of those moments when I opened my eyes to make sure I was still in this world, when I saw both my parents standing at the foot of the bed. I believe it was my father who said, "Mac, get up. We're taking you to New Hope." I asked if I should put on my clothes and was told no, dressing wouldn't be necessary. Pajamas were fine. I sensed my parents were beginning to understand. Going outside, I remembered to look up, to see if there was something in the sky that could help explain what was happening. There was. There were stars by the millions, more than I'd ever seen before, almost close enough to reach and grab. And I remember a silver quarter moon cradled in such a way, it was easy to imagine God Himself sitting up there, leaning back, smiling, a leg dangling over the side. Oh, yes, it was a night for magic. I knew that, but I hadn't seen anything yet. The next thing I knew, I was standing before the merry-go-round in downtown New Hope. How can I describe what I was seeing? I remember the horses bowing and swaying, the clowns smiling, moving, yet not moving, all in dance. As round and round they moved, their eyes fixed upon me, performing as if solely for my marvel. I'd never heard a waltz before. My parents asked if I wanted to ride. I didn't. Surrounded by air fresh and cool, all I wanted was to stand and watch the horses, some nodding, some with head back neighing, some prancing, some galloping, all keeping time with the music and moving in circles to enchant a child. Ecstasy. Such happiness, such joy, such beauty, the horses all moving in time. Were the horses moving in time with the music? Or was the music moving in time with the horses? Yes, I believe that's how it was. The music was moving in time with the horses. The music, the horses, I stood there spellbound while Spirit whispered, "Here, child, just for you, this special gift, a memory for the rest of time." And yet, as wonderful as everything was, still something was missing. Only when I saw my parents on the merry-go-round did I understand my parents were a part of the picture, too. I stood there watching the sight of my mother and father on the merry-go-round, their eyes smiling, at first looking at me, but later, as the merry-go-round continued, I could tell my parents knew. I wasn't going anywhere, and I could see them begin to think of other things. My mother and father couldn't see what I could see, their eyes shining, their faces laughing as round and round they rode. What were they thinking? I leave it to you. All I know is I remember a summer night when I stood and watched a young man and a young woman on a carousel going round and round, their eyes looking into each other's, as if none mattered but the other. I remember their smiles, their faces, their laughter, like they now understood that for this special night they were the ones chosen as symbols for all the sweethearts in the world. And I remember my mother reaching for the golden ring and not getting it. I smiled, because I knew that for this magic night, all the love, all the hope and promise symbolized by that golden ring wasn't dependent on actually getting the ring, but rather everything depended on reaching for it. And this, at my father's encouragement, I had seen my mother do. It was done. The gift. Complete. Now, more than 60 years later, I've wondered what it was that called me so, what it was that wouldn't let me go, and what it was that made my parents, after telling me no 3 times that night, take me to the carousel in New Hope, Alabama. Some say it was the magic, while others say the music. Some say it was the merry-go-round, but it was more. So, very much more. I'll tell you what it was. It was the calling of a memory.